Hey, Red.
Hi there, Red.
Welcome to Red Square.
No commie talk.
Just common sense.
From a couple of uncommon gingers. You got that right.
Ain't that the truth?
So what's been on your mind, Red?
Well, Red, like a tire full of air, I am pumped up. I am double pumped up.
That's not even a pun, but it is equally as bad, I would say.
So we have a special guest, A, and B, I love the National Day today.
Oh, so you are pumped up.
I am pumped. Double pumped. Double pumped.
Okay. Well. Okay.
So, but before we start with that, let's get over with the ginger bites.
All right, a couple of quick ginger bites here. You don't want to introduce our guest first?
We'll get there. We'll get there.
Okay, I'm letting him take the lead, ladies and gentlemen. So don't blame Red. Blame Red.
He means gentleman in the singular sense.
Yeah, listener. So anyway.
So tell me, Red, how are you doing with your New Year's resolution?
Oh, somehow I had a feeling you were going to start bringing that back up. I had a goal to lose 15 pounds, by end of March?
And we started this in January.
And it is now the end of February, and I've lost 2 whole pounds. I got on the scale actually this morning, and I was pretty ticked off.
You know, when you start try something new, you start with baby steps. But at some point, you got to move beyond the baby steps. your 2 pounds that's it.
Well, I mean, it's not like I did nothing. I ate hummus and carrots and celery for lunch for 3 straight weeks.
Which for you is a monumental challenge.
I don't like vegetarian lunches all that much. I'm not a huge fan of vegetarian meals, you know, in general.
Or vegetables in general.
You make a decent point. So this one wasn't particularly easy, but there are some good hummuses out there. Or is that hummi? What is the plural of hummus?
We'll go with hummuses.
Okay. I like hummi, but no, I don't know if that's right.
That just sounds weird.
I doubt the industry would be okay with it.
Right.
So yeah, I don't know. I need to take some more drastic measures. Probably stop drinking beer will be a big one.
Well, I told you that my wife and I are going to give up alcohol for Lent. What are you doing again?
I told you I gave up Lent for alcohol a long time ago. I mean, that's where...
You probably did that like 20 years ago.
Oh, it's been longer than that, my friend.
All right, well...
I've been drinking legally for over 20 years.
Well, on my New Year's resolution front, I am right on target. My goal was to run 1,000 miles this year because I'm 70 and I probably won't have many more opportunities. So I have to run about 80 a month. And even though we've had horrible weather, I am right on the verge of getting my second month of 80 miles.
That's impressive, especially with the weather we've been having.
I've been running in 6-degree weather, 16-degree weather.
That's awful. Yeah, and then this summer you'll get to run in 100-degree weather. So it's going to work out great for you this year.
There we go.
All right.
All right. Enough about me.
Yeah, introduce our guest for crying out loud. Let him become part of the conversation.
Well, I'll let you take care of that.
Well,
I'll take care of you.
All right,
Ray. Today we have a special guest.
We do.
We like to call him, or we just started calling him, Bicycle Bob.
How you doing, guys?
Hey, thank you very much for coming on the show. I apologize for Red's nonsense already.
Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
We're happy that you're here. We've been doing more with guests, and I'm super excited about it. Last time, I feel like when we had Taxman Tim on, or wait, Tax Time?
Tax Time Tim.
Tax Time Tim. I took the lead in the interview, so we thought we'd let Red take the lead today. He's off to a bang-up job so far, but we're going to, you know.
Leave it to the professionals.
We believe in second chances here on Red Squared.
So what we wanted to do with you is, like, we had a show where we talked about running marathons, mm-hmm. and obviously I
knew nothing about
lead
it.
On that one, but we both know really very little about bicycling, mm-hmm. and we know that you are a bicyclist.
That's my thing. I've been doing it for a long time now.
Yeah,
probably like 20 plus years.
I remember seeing a photograph when I'd go and hang out at my wife's work. You two work together.
Yeah.
And I would see like your picture with you holding this bike. And I was like, huh, I never even realized. But
oh, yeah, that was the Pan Ohio bike ride. So we rode from here to Cincinnati.
I know what Pan means, and that's way too far. How many hundred miles is that?
328 miles. They strategically placed together the route, so it was always within a mile of that number. So they stuck with it the entire time.
320 miles?
328
miles. How long did it take you?
It was 4 days. Oh, 4 days.
4 days.
Yep.
So 300, that's almost 80 miles a day.
Yeah. And
look at the math that we're able to do quickly.
And it's not, so it's broken up. So you got a couple of century rides. So you got a couple of 100-mile rides in there.
Oh, so they call them century rides.
That's right. That's what makes them fancy.
Yeah.
Anybody can do 80 miles, but when you get to 100, I mean, that
now that's something
deal.
Special.
All right. How long, it begs the question, how long does it take to ride 100 miles?
Well, obviously, it depends on your speed. But like for me, I'm probably doing it about between 5 and 6 hours.
5 and 6 hours. Are you a good cyclist, an average cyclist?
I would say I'm just a little bit better than average. But again, it's for my age. I mean, you probably realize this, like, as you get older, you're not as fast.
You slow down.
Just a little bit.
Wait, what? That's happened to you guys?
When I was young.
Haven't you seen those commercials with Doug Flutie and Frank Thomas? You just got to get some Total T and you'll be right back in the game.
Yeah, that works. You know, when I was younger, I ran 3-hour marathons. Now, my last one, I ran a 4-hour marathon. So that kind of.
But the cool thing is he gets to say, when I was younger, I ran marathons. Those words will never, unless I'm playing two truths and a lie, those words will not come out of my mouth.
And what do we say about running marathons, Red?
The hardest thing about running marathons is?
How to keep bringing it up in conversation.
For at least the next 6 months, you got to continuously talk about it.
All right, so back to you, though,
yep.
Bicycle Bob.
Which I also very generous of you to allow Red to give you that moniker today, I guess.
It's BB, and I'm all good with it.
I almost said, could I call you Double B?
Double B is good. Okay, so you had this race, or not race, you had this ride where you ran 328 miles. What was the shortest one you did?
Oh, the shortest distance? Probably, I always average. I love the longer rides. Like, that's my thing. So, like, 25 miles is probably my shortest ride.
Okay.
Like, you know, that's like 1 hour. You know, it's getting out for a run, like, That's easy.
It'd be like me going out 6 miles.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And when you were on this Pan Ohio bike ride, where did you stay?
We were at hostels.
Hostels.
Sorry, not hostels. Colleges along the way. It felt like hostels.
Dorm rooms.
They furnished them with the Cleveland Clinic. They have all the sheets from the beds at the clinic.
Washed,
barely. And they're not fitted sheets. They don't fit the bed, so it's a little rough. Like just
sliding around a little bit.
And did you eat well?
Oh, yeah. So all the ones I've done were supported by one of the beer companies. And it was...
by the beer companies.
It was...
convenient.
It was... the one that has Fat Tire as their main beer. New Belgium.
That is the one. They are based out of Fort Collins, Colorado. Been to their brewery several times.
And they're employee owned.
They are, which is actually a really cool part of the brewery.
Right.
Plus, Fat Tire was like the first not just like cheap beer. Like that we all have $4. What's the most amount of beer we can get? Right. Like Fat Tire was like the first beer that I really actually drank and really liked.
In the age of the craft beer, of course.
Yeah, yeah.
So great. We ate really good. I would say most of the college have amazing food.
Okay.
So we ate a ton. There was a place called Late Night Slice. And so...
I like it already.
It was great pizza, but they also had a vending machine at the college. You could like put money in and get pizza right out of a vending machine.
I'm
like,
fantastic.
Oh my God, I'd be like 900 pounds if I was a college student there.
Was it pretty good pizza, even out of the vending machine?
you know, it's hard to tell after an endurance event.
Sure.
You can eat hungry. Anything, you know, it doesn't really matter.
Hey, so what were some of the colleges' names?
So we did Otterbein. We did, let's see, Otterbein, and then Wooster.
Okay.
And, there's one in Springfield, Ohio, but I can never remember the name of that one. It's the only reason to go to Springfield. The best thing about Springfield
is it by the Patterson Wright?
Sort of.
Okay.
I mean, it's that little town out of there.
Okay. The back roads?
No freeways. All back roads. As many trails as we possibly can. You always try to stay on the trails, and it's a trail almost exactly when you leave Springfield all the way in to the Ohio River, which was, that's always the amazing part, is getting to like an actual real border, right? You like start someplace, you're like, oh, in Cleveland someplace.
Right.
But you end at the Ohio River, you're like, I did accomplish the state.
Right. That's big.
That's a long way to ride a bike.
It is. I will say that's the thing. It's like 3 days when you're on the trail, day after day after doing the same thing. I think you realize that you just have to keep going. Like that's the best thing you do. There's gonna be bad days. You're gonna hurt. You're gonna feel better if you just keep going. Eventually you'll get there, and then there'll be like beer and hopefully something
slices
else delicious
of pizza
going.
Yeah, out of the vending machine.
Was the fourth day hardest?
No, the fourth day is actually the easiest on that particular ride, just because of where you are. The third day is the worst, and it's the shortest day. Because when you go from Columbus, basically through Columbus, you leave Columbus and there is nothing. There's nothing between Columbus and Springfield. When you get to Springfield, there's nothing either. But that whole area is nothing but cornfields on one side and soybeans on the other side.
What about hills?
And that area is just a slight rolling hill, which isn't terrible, except that they're poorly maintained roads. And that's the big thing, is the rolling resistance. There's a wind in your face, no matter which direction you're going. And the roads are so they're so rough because they're just farm roads that you never pick up any speed. And if you do, if by chance you are rolling and enjoying it and life's good, there's a stop sign at the bottom. You can guarantee that.
And you don't get to just cruise right through.
Well, not on country roads. No.
That's when you have somebody pedal ahead, flag it down, so the rest of the crews can cruise through. That actually made me, I'm changing the subject a little, but I'm curious. Have you ever been part of one of these critical mass bike rides?
Totally have. Those things are fantastic.
I wondered if that'd be something you'd be into.
Oh, yeah. It's so much fun. Like,
tell us a little bit about that.
Explain
what a
critical mass bike ride is.
Not everyone knows what that is.
Oh, so I don't.
Yeah. So the critical mass bike ride is where a bunch of people, they post it on social media, and they just try to get as many riders to one location. And they have a planned stop, but you may, sort of wander your way there. They do it after work. It's usually on a specific Friday. And you wander through the city. And, with the city on Friday, normally a lot of people are leaving. So the city's pretty clear. But because you have critical mass, right, you have hundreds of riders usually riding crazy, weird, tricked-out bikes. You can get through every intersection without stopping. Sometimes the cops will actually hold streets for you. It's great.
It becomes like a thing.
It's like a parade.
Yeah.
And what's, I've seen these, and it is like hundreds of people riding all manner of bicycle.
Yes. Anything with wheels
and
no motor, I would say, is pretty much guaranteed.
It's fair game.
Yeah.
And it's almost like the police don't even, they just sort of accept it and go with it.
I don't think there's anything they could do. I mean,
that's the critical mass part, right?
That absolutely is. I think I've only had the police get involved one time just to send us through an intersection safely. And, usually we end somewhere where there's beer and pizza.
I would say the vendors are probably like this.
Oh, they love it. I'm sure. And it's just great to get outside in the summer and have a good time with a bunch of like-minded folks and
people. Yeah. Want to go ride.
Yeah. And I will say, the guys with the tricked out bikes, like the multi-story bikes, like obviously some artists welded these things together and they're like 3 feet in the air. I'm like, that's cool.
That's good to watch, probably.
Yeah, I don't want to be part of that.
I always wonder, how do they get back off that bike?
You know, they lean against like
light posts.
Something. Stuff like that.
So when you ride by yourself, not by yourself, on your own, do you ride with a group? Like if you go out on a weekend?
I will say, like, I normally go out, like, I feel like the camaraderie of having people together is awesome. But, you know, like, certain things, like, it is nice just to ride by yourself, like, just to be with yourself for a couple of hours, do a 60-mile ride on your own is nice.
Do you listen to music while you ride?
I don't. I just ride.
Okay.
It's like, you know, it's like a getting away from the phone and all that stuff. Right. It's nice.
Okay.
Nothing wrong with that.
It's not like a safety thing, like you want to hear the cars around you or anything.
No, because, I mean, I've ridden with guys that will put those, you know, they have those Bluetooth speakers that are kind of like the size of a soda bottle.
Sure.
And you put them in your holder and you can be good, which is great. Like if it's a brutal ride, like the long rides that I've done. It's nice to have music around.
A little soundtrack.
Yeah, something, right? Some
pump you up a little bit.
The eye of the tiger, like a mile 90. You're like, right? Thank God, right?
When I run by myself, I usually listen to music.
Do you?
Mm-hmm.
I've always like wondered back in the day when I was snowboarding. I didn't snowboard alone very often, but on the couple of times I did, I was like, I probably shouldn't put headphones in because I need to hear people coming up behind me and stuff.
Oh, yeah. That's a little more important on a ski slope.
But I don't know, bicycling.
No, I definitely.
If you're going 25 miles an hour, and
I would never have anything on my ears. There's no doubt, because that would be super dangerous. Especially, you know, like even if you run across some people, you know, you find someone beautiful to follow. You're like right up behind them. Like you need to hear exactly when they start slowing down.
Now,
you know, like
beautiful, attractive.
I'm always faster when there's a girl in front of me. It's a guarantee.
Okay, so on average, how much do you bike each week?
Once we get into the good weather, I would say I'm doing, let me think here. I would say I'm doing between 75 and 100 miles a week.
Okay.
That's
which is pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, it sounds like a lot, but you think about the difference between that and running, right? I mean, to run 10 miles, that's what, an hour? Is that a
little bit more than that?
A little bit more than an hour. Like to ride 10 miles is nothing, right?
I mean, that's like a half hour.
I mean, again,
less than for you.
It depends on traffic, right? Because if I do a lot of bike, like the rails, the trails. So, you know, I can do 30 miles in about an hour. Because remember, on a trail, you don't have to stop.
Yeah.
Except once in a while, you come to a crossroad.
So and you're on a performance bike.
Yeah.
And you've been doing it a long time.
Yeah, I would say the bike is. Makes me a lot faster.
Well, that's what we were going to talk about.
There's certainly different levels of, you know, cycles.
Oh, yeah.
You know, my wife and I bought the tandem.
Yeah.
And some people buy like sort of racing tandems. And I'm like, wow, those people could probably go 30 miles an hour together.
Oh, yeah.
The wifey and I go 15, 16 at the most.
Weight makes a big difference on bikes. There's no doubt. But I will say, like, when you get to a, you know, say you're getting to a higher level bike, you know, between my bike and something that's $10,000.
How much difference is there?
How
many grams did they shave off the,
without prying, how much did you pay for your bike? Cause I would imagine you have a good bike.
I do. I have a pretty good bike. I have an all carbon fiber bike.
Made in Italy.
It is not made in Italy.
No.
I would say most of the bikes are like made overseas, like in Southeast Asia. But this particular bike, I got a great deal on, and I think I ended up spending like $1,600 on it. Okay. It was like, you know,
that's actually less than I was expecting you to say.
This bike probably would have been $3,000, you know, but like me being not a very tall person super helps because like you could find those smaller fitting bikes, but I would say fit makes a big difference. Cause like right now my daughter's riding my, my old racing bike and that was all aluminum. And, you know, I'm lightning fast on that bike and it fits me really well. It's just not as comfortable to ride. And it's a little bit more like long-term work. Like, because my new carbon fiber bike is so much lighter. I'm like, you know, it doesn't hurt as much.
Does your bike have a chic name?
It does not, but it's all black.
Nice. All
black. Okay.
Well, and both aluminum and carbon fiber are pretty stiff on the road,
yes.
Right?
Carbon is more flexible.
Little bit more.
Yeah, so it's more comfortable. The most all aluminum bikes,
they're pretty stiff, right?
They are, and they actually,
they're heavier, aren't they?
They're heavier, but again, it's minimal. But But the thing is that a lot of those bikes, at least from the era that I purchased my first one, which would have been like the, been like the 2000s, early 2000s, they put carbon forks on those and carbon like rear stays. And that makes a huge difference because it absorbs a little bit more of the bumps of the road.
Just a little more give.
Yeah.
Do you have wider tires on your bike?
No, super slim.
Thin?
Yeah.
Okay.
Super thin racing tires. I will say the thing about getting into the higher end bikes, right, is you got to have clip-in pedals. Like that, when you get into that, the level that I'm riding at, you got to have clip-in pedals.
You have to.
So your feet don't slide out.
So you can actually, well,
you're pulling up and pushing down.
Oh,
that's exactly right. You're balancing out the muscles, right? So you're able to pull up. You can get it's marginal, but it's enough that you're just taking a little bit off the load. But the thing is remember, you're clipped in. So you, in order to take your foot out, you have to twist it out from the bike and it pops right out, which is not a problem. Except in those circumstances, when you come up to a stop sign, you don't anticipate it. You don't plan properly. The foot does not come out the time that you want. And then all of a sudden, you know you're falling and there is nothing you can do at it. You are yanking at your foot. You are doing everything you can to get that foot out and it's not coming and it's too late.
Take one on the shoulder.
There's a big owl.
Well, you just look so damn stupid. Just like
slow motion tip over. Well, when I was in college, I was riding my mountain bike to school a lot, even in the winter. And I didn't have the like clip ins. I had the toe clips.
Oh, yeah.
Where it was just kind of the cage you slid your foot into. And that provided a little bit of being able to pull up, not to the same level as the actual clip ins, but I found it so much easier.
Oh, yeah.
To pop out. And then also in college, they're special shoes. You know, around on those, you're walking around like tap shoes. Click, 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 click.
That was my
next question.
If
I'm going to class, I had to have sneakers or boots or something on.
What other bicycle equipment do you use? Do you have special shorts? Do you have...
We have special everything, and I think that's the weirdest thing about the sport, right? Like the coolest thing about...
You guys do have, like, special gear.
Everything is specialized, but it's like, you know, like if you went... if you're a swimmer, right, you put your swim suit on, all right, you're at the pool, it's okay, right? But you're not going to go walk out of a convenience store with your swimsuit on. But as a bicycle rider, especially if you enjoy the world, right? So you're going out, you're going for a nice long ride, you find a new path, you enjoy it. Yeah, it's getting late in the day. You want a snack. You find a convenience store. Well, then you have to unclip. You're wearing what feels like you're wearing high heels in spandex, something so tight that you can tell what religion you are by looking at you. And then everything's a bright, weird color on top of it. And then you got a helmet that is awful. And then you walk in and you got to try to make your purchase on the slippery floor. So,
and you know people are like, that guy.
Yeah. Like,
there is a biker.
People are like, oh, we got another one of those guys.
I hope there's not more of them.
And, you know, there's a level of discomfort that happens because if you're doing a long bike ride, right, there's ointments and things that you put in your shorts to make things
lubricated.
Yes. Right. To allow things slide better. I don't know if that's a runner's thing as well.
You do lubricate when you run marathons, yes.
So they actually have what's called butt butter, which it sounds exactly like it's a well-named product. And you put that in there, like you're walking around, your pants are a little bit wet feeling, and then you're walking to a store. It's
but wet feeling pants at my age is nothing new.
Do you feel weird when you walk up to the counter and say, can I have some butt butter?
No, because they're all like, you want the extra aloe or you want the, you know, like all the bike people know because it's one of those things. If you know, you know.
That is true. That is true.
Do you wear padded shorts?
Of course.
Of course.
Of course.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because the seats are so tiny to save weight.
And it's not even just the size of the seats. Like the seats are based upon your sit bones. So like if you're a woman, the seat is slightly wider, right, to accommodate the wider sit bones of a woman. But it is really the matter of, like, the impact that your butt, especially on a long ride, like, right. It's fine to go on a 100-mile ride. You'd be like, oh, I'm fine. And you sleep it off. You get back on the bike. You're like, oh, no, I did not sleep that off.
Yeah.
That is a pain that sticks with you for a while.
When you go on long rides, do you take aspirin?
ibuprofen regularly. The other thing is they have you take some sort of antacid. I guess that's supposed to help. I don't know. I'm not really sure the science of this, but I just saw a bunch of people doing it.
You're like, well,
stop. I'm like,
if you know, you know.
I didn't know that like riding a bike gave you heartburn.
Stressful.
Yeah.
Seriously.
50 more miles.
So have you... Go ahead.
So is that it for equipment then? Shorts, shoes?
Helmet. The grossest thing you have is your helmet. There's no doubt about that.
Well, they're always kind of slicked back and stuff.
Yeah.
Like your...
Well, they just pick up every bit of oil you've ever had as a human.
Right.
And they hang out there. And maybe it's not so bad if you have hair, but I have no hair. So it's...
guys like us, it's less of a problem.
It's just this gross feeling when you put it on your head the next day and it's got a little bit of you still in it.
Still suctions right to the old scalp there.
But yeah, and gloves. I will say gloves are a huge thing.
And do you have rain gear?
I don't, because I just go home.
I don't have to cycle that much.
Well, yeah. But if you're on that long trip, you can't just say.
No, and that's the worst part is like you can only plan so much. Like there's a little cover for your helmet just to help you out. But you probably found this out from running too. Like you build up so much. Well, you sweat so much and it on a bike, it dries instantly. Yeah. Right. So you get a lot of cooling. The issue is the salt hangs out. So like when it rains, your eyes are burning with the amount of salt. Like it's direct. I have no hair, so it goes straight into my eyes. So you're blind on the road.
And your eyebrows are sparse. Yeah.
There's nothing.
No barrier. Borrow some of mine. I got plenty. So one of the things I learned when I ran a marathon, and this was great because I had to run this marathon in a rainstorm, and it rained the whole time for like 8 hours. The night before, someone told me, put a shower cap on your head to keep your head dry. And it was perfect.
I do want to see you doing a marathon with a shower cap on.
That would be pretty cool.
Was it like leopard print?
No, it was just plastic, clear plastic.
Oh, I was hoping it was a like pink grandma one.
All right, let's go back to bike trips. What was your longest one then?
You know, actually, the Panhandles are my longest. I did one longer day. We did almost to like Marietta, Ohio. Like
that's the South Ohio. That's
pretty south. Yeah. We weren't quite there, but we went as far as the trail went. So they have a rail to trail now that goes all the way to Marietta. And then from Marietta, I think you can go all the way to Washington, D.C. without being on the road too much.
When you say rail to trail, is it a real bike trail?
It is a real paved bike trail for the most part. And it's an organization. It's a great charity. They reach out and they try to encourage the U.S. government to purchase disused rails,
railroad lines,
and then convert them over to
that is so cool because you don't have to worry about traffic
and the grade. That's the huge thing for a lot of new bicyclists. The grade, I think, is at its most is 6%. Around here, you'd never even seen that. So it gets people out into the sport to be able to enjoy the nature.
Oh, that's really cool. And that's a national nonprofit?
It's a national nonprofit, and I guess the goal is to be able to go across country. There's a lot of disused rail lines that are able to be purchased, and sections have been purchased. Like I said, I think you can go all the way from Ohio to D.C. now, and I think you can go several, a few states out west, but not quite. You'll end
up going through North Platte, my hometown, because it's a giant rail line.
That Ohio to D.C. sounds so romantic, and it would be great to do that. I would get to West Virginia and die. Yeah.
I will say, like, I
would get to Rocky River and fall over.
I did hear that can get a little bit rough. Like, I guess there's a huge section that goes through PA there that it's like, there's a whole lot of
hills.
And there's nothing, right? There's no place to stop. So you're kind of stuck.
Just riding.
Right.
That's it. And if you have some sort of breakage on your way, which I don't think I've been on a Panhandle where I haven't had like some serious issue, right?
Beyond a flat tire.
Right. Yeah. No, flat tires are super common, right? I mean, you have those on every long ride, probably at least one if you're riding with a group of people.
And are you particularly adept at putting a tire on?
Yeah, not fast. I feel like a NASCAR pit crew that isn't very good at their job. Like you don't do this a lot, do you? I'm like, not enough, apparently, because it just looks bad. I'm just sitting there You got a tiny little bike pump. You're trying to pump away. It's a little inappropriate looking. Like, it's just a little strange.
The crew is going to lose the ball game. So, all right, what is your worst ride?
Worst.
Or hard, like hardest. The one that you're like, oh, man, yeah. I was so excited.
Either adjective works here.
You know, everything that went wrong on this one. I was somewhere between Worcester and Columbus, and it was all uphill. The whole ride was going up and down these really difficult hills. I had a major malfunction of my bike, and I was not able to shift into my large sprocket on the front. So I was kind of stuck with like six gears. Which sounds like not a problem, but when you're going up big hills, you want a bit of...
You want the lowest gear possible.
Yeah.
You know, I just drove down to Columbus, and I know that stretch from Worcester to Columbus. There are some monumental hills.
There are.
I mean, I have a four-cylinder truck, and my truck was struggling.
So I had to do probably like 60 miles of that. And then...
Oh, that's brutal.
It was rough. It was very rough. And then, of course, I got everything fixed. You know, they usually have a support... You know, or you can find a bike shop and get a repair. That wasn't the issue. But then after that, it rained the rest of the time. It was just miserable amount of rain. So nothing's fun in that circumstance.
I mean, when you ride in the rain, it's like cold and it is miserable.
Yeah. There's nothing fun about that.
What was the like prettiest or, you know,
the most picturesque.
Yeah.
I thought that was the term we agreed on. Picturesque.
The most.
I was expanding.
Oh, sorry, sorry. Let me freestyle. Let me let you freestyle.
Freestyle here.
I did a little bit of riding when I was in Hawaii, and
nice.
I don't think there's any bad places to ride in Hawaii. I don't think there's any. Maybe there is. I didn't see any of it. So riding in Hawaii, we just did a little ride. We rented a couple of bikes and just went through a little section of Maui, and it was amazing.
Oh, that sounds great. Maui was not an island I got to go on, but I can't imagine it wasn't beautiful as well.
Yeah.
I'm sure it was tropical pleasure, you know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I feel like Hawaii is like, if it's too hot, you're on the wrong side of the street, right? You just gotta you're good.
It really is just like perfect weather almost all the time.
Okay, what else did we want to talk about? What else do you want to say about bicycles?
Yeah, what?
I think I feel like biking is one of those things that most people should be able to get into and really enjoy. You know, it's not something that has a high threshold for experience. I think we can all do it. Most people have learned as a kid and really enjoy.
It's like riding a bike.
It is like riding a bike.
Did you really just say that?
I can't believe I did that.
That sounds
I should have let
Red I should have said that.
I know.
But yeah,
I guess I'm anxious to talk because I just did that.
I'm glad you thought that one out.
But definitely try it out. I think it's a lot of fun.
One thing that can be a bit cost prohibitive is the bike. The entry. I said that wrong. The barrier to entry can be cost prohibitive, but you can also get cheap bikes and just ride.
Yeah.
You can get a like grandma cruiser. Just cruise around town.
Well, the other you made it sound attractive in that you talk about these rails to trails.
That sounds
really cool.
Those beautiful. Are the best. It's so beautiful. You're out in nature. You can really enjoy it. But the other thing is you can like get, you know, there's a million bikes floating around in this world and they don't require a lot of maintenance and they're not really hard to fix if there's a problem. So find a good used bike and enjoy.
Uh-huh.
You just might not be, you know, competitive at that level or doing really long distance.
Mechanical people, bikes aren't hard to fix.
Yeah.
I would have to I don't think YouTube could even get me to...
A fixer. Oh, my God. So yesterday I went to a car wash, and I went through the car wash, and it took my aerial to my...
The antenna.
To my radio in my car. It just took it off. Automatic car wash, and I went on YouTube to look how to repair it. There were about 15 steps, and I could do maybe three of them. Needless to say, I don't have an antenna anymore.
You weren't listening to the radio anyway.
I do. That's what I do. I listen to NPR in my car. You know, NPR in the car.
You can do it on your phone. You can broadcast it.
That's the next step.
Yep, he's gonna have to.
That's the repair.
So, possibly now, because of this wonderful program, I might have to take a bike ride this summer.
I agree. Yeah.
I'll talk to you off the air about possible rail to trails locations.
Sounds good.
There's got to be some up here around Cleveland.
I'm sure there are. I'm sure there are. And you have the Emerald Necklace right here that you can ride on. And if you have a bike with a, you know, a little bit more tire, you can go all the way down to the, what is that? The Erie Canal, the...
Down in Peninsula?
Yeah, well, it starts up here, right? I mean, starts somewhere on.
I think let's put Bicycle Bob on a single gear, and then that'll make it fair. And then you and I can ride on regular bikes, and we can take a bike ride, and we'll all probably work the same amount.
And if he starts to beat us, we just kick him over.
Yeah, right.
Try to catch us now.
Yeah, he'll be way ahead of us.
Well, it has been a pleasure.
Seriously.
To have you on our show.
Thanks so much for coming on.
Oh, thank you, guys.
Yeah. I thought it was cool to hear about cycling, and I'd never heard anything about the... Tell me again, the what to rail?
Trails to rails, right? Rails to trails.
Rails to trails. I want to get that right. I think that's super cool.
We'll have to look that up.
Absolutely. Well?
Well, listener, if we find out, we'll let you know.
I think it's been another
fantastic episode of Red Squared.